Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. And verse 17 through 28. Here's the title, Austin. The importance of always remembering. The importance of always to remember. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Sergeant Kotiver, it's good to see you. I know you're out of town. It was so wonderful having your family here a week ago or so. It was just a blessing. I hope they had a good time. We tried to love them and tell them how much we loved you, and I hope they got that. Hope they realized how much we thank God for you. And what a wonderful family you have. It didn't surprise me, such a special man like you are. I knew you had a special family. All righty. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Look at verse 17. Now the first day of the... How many got Matthew 26, 17? Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Now you remember this Passover started with Moses. Back in Exodus chapter 12. Remember, this Passover was 1,500 years before Jesus was ever born, approximately. The Passover was foretelling of the lamb that would come and be slain. And that was Christ. That's why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away sins of the world." That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, that said, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is the Passover. Amen. And for 1,500 years, Sean, before Jesus came, Moses and all the way down through the generations, they killed a lamb and slew and shed the blood. It was a type of what Jesus was going to do for you and I and what he was about to do for them. Of course, we're included also. But notice in verse 17, "Now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into thy city, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.'" We know it's Judas. "And they were exceedingly sorrowful, began every one of them to say unto him, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same betrayeth me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto him, that man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.'" Then Judas... I'm glad they don't have those words written about me. Woo. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said to him, 'Master, is it I?' He knew it was. He knew the answer before he asked the question. We do that sometimes. God, do you really want me not to do this? We know the answer. He said to him, 'Thou hast said.'" In verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and brake it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" By the way, the fruit of the vine, that's grape juice, fresh grape juice. It's not alcohol. It's fruit, fresh from the vine. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, greatest honors a church member can, and that's the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we're to take this until you come back and remember what you did for us. And tonight, Father, I just pray that you'd help us as we look into the Word to remember all that you did for us and to love you more and more each day, I pray. Well, come down and be with us now and bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to partake of the last of the Lord's Supper, which Jesus instituted with his disciples just before he was taken to be crucified. And we read the scripture in Matthew. Would you just turn over to Luke chapter 22 with me? I'll read another passage of scripture in another book. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this Passover meeting. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 14. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14, and we'll read right down to verse 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down. How many are in Luke 22, verse 14? Okay. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with the desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew he was going to the cross. That was the whole reason Jesus was born. He was born to die and suffer and be our sacrifice. That's why Christ came. That's why he came from the splendor of heaven. People say, well, he was trying to chicken out. He didn't want that. Christ wouldn't even came from heaven if he didn't want to come and die for us. Scripture says in Peter, it was already preordained before the foundation of the world. So trust me, Jesus wanted to and was willing to. I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, verse 17, and gave thanks, said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And in verse 19 and 20, if you'll look at that, and he took bread. Notice he took bread. There's a significant truth behind that. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Boy, the Bible, if you just keep reading the scriptures, it'll tell you what that bread represented. It represented his body. He said it was his body. That was, and then look at verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let me read verse 19 and 20 again. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. It was a type, it was a symbol, a picture of his body that was going to be broken at Calvary. This, look what he says, this doing what? Remembrance of me. I want you to keep doing it because I want you to remember me, what I did for you. Likewise also the cup after supper, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. He shed his blood for you. He shed his blood for me. We sang about his blood today. We heard special singing about his blood. You know, I'm glad he shed that precious blood. Amen? You know, scripture, when we take the Lord's Supper tonight, I'll even read from the passage of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 11, as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me, remembrance of me. There's some people actually think that by taking this Lord's Supper that they're actually eating the body of Christ and drinking the blood of Jesus. You're not. No, we're just doing it. Remember what he did for us. We're going to remember the blood that he shed. We're going to remember that body that he gave for you and I. Amen? And 11:26 of Corinthians says, for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And by the way, I got praise God about that. You do it till the Lord comes. I like that. That means Jesus is well and alive. Amen. You know why? Because a dead man might be alive to say, I'm coming back. Amen? So I'm glad we got a risen, real, reigning, returning Savior. Let me give you some real quick facts about the local church and the Lord's Supper and baptism. First of all, Jesus gave two ordinances to the local church. There's two ordinances God gave to the local Baptist church. He gave believers baptism, after you trust Christ as your Savior. We had a couple today. Trust Christ. Debbie gave her, and they gave that young lady some seven steps of joy in those things. We instruct them that the next step they want to do after you get saved is to be baptized. And so we're going to try to encourage those people to get in their homes and talk to them and encourage them to get baptized. Hopefully we can get them baptized next Sunday. Amen. And then after believer's baptism, after you trust Christ your Savior, then you can take the Lord's Supper. And personally, I believe only baptized believers should take the Lord's Supper. Just being a believer, if you haven't followed obedience, if a person, even though they're saved, if they haven't followed in obedience of baptism, I don't believe they should take the Lord's Supper, because you've got to be in obedience to Christ. And the first commandment after we get saved is be baptized. So after you're saved, you should be baptized. And then take the Lord's Supper. By the way, I got you in Luke. Look at Matthew 16:18. Jesus gave this to his local Baptist church to institute to its members. And this is where the church started. I mentioned a little bit about that this morning in my morning service. Look at Matthew 16:18. Familiar scripture. And Jesus said, remember I mentioned about Peter this morning and his mother-in-law? how Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? How many remember that? And how he wasn't the first pope because he had a mother-in-law? He had to be married. Hello? Anybody home tonight? Say amen. Amen. By the way, I preach faster if you amen me. Amen. Amen. Amen? There you go. That'll work. And I said, they're only 325 years behind because the Catholic Church that was started in AD 325. But look at this now. Look in verse 18. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, not the Pope. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will what? Build my church. Norma, that's when Jesus started the local church. Right there. Brother Mike, the church that Jesus started began right there. Right there is the start of the New Testament Baptist Church. That's the beginning. It was empowered at the day of Pentecost. But it was started because the Holy Ghost came then. That's the empowerment. But Jesus started it. Why he was on earth. Why do you say that, preacher? You need to understand your Baptist heritage. You need to understand why preacher talks about stuff like this. Jesus started the local church. Why he was here on earth. He started the local church. Our church wasn't started by some local man-made thing. You know, all these Church of Nazarene, different, they might be good people, but they all got men as founders. We don't have a sinful man as a founder. We got Christ, the Son of God, as our founder. God in the flesh. That's who started our church. By the way, that's the church you want to be a member of. And that's the church Jesus walked. Listen, John the Baptist got his name from heaven. John's mother and dad didn't name him. They were going to name him Zacharias. And he said, no, his name is John. You read the scriptures. John got his name from heaven. It was called John the Baptist, not the baptizer. John the Baptist. He got his name from heaven. He got his authority from heaven. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist, the right authority. You can argue all you want with me, but I'm telling you, I know my Bible. You can believe it or not, but I'm telling you the truth. Jesus walked 60 miles to be baptized by John the Baptist, who God gave his name from heaven, and God gave him the authority from heaven. And so Jesus started the first church. He had Baptist baptism, and because it's the right authority. If you don't get baptized by the right authority, you don't have real baptism. Get mad at me what you want, but at least I'm telling you from the scriptures. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm proud to be part of what Jesus started. And Jesus started his local Baptist church to initiate. We're in the local church that Christ started. I know he didn't start this particular one, but we've come down through the centuries to it. Can anyone say amen? what's that word I want? Perpetuated down through the centuries. And I'm glad I'm part of that church. I'm glad I can be identified with the church that Christ started. I mean, you shouldn't get, by the way, now can I make a statement? Just because you're part of a Baptist church, that don't get you to heaven. It just tells you you're in a true place where the truth is at. The only way you get to heaven is put your faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. Anyone who trusts Christ as their Savior goes to heaven. I'm talking about the local church. We're talking about the two ordinances of the local church. I'm talking about baptism and Lord's Supper tonight. We're going to institute the Lord's Supper. And Christ started the local church. Brother Rod, he gave us authority to do it. By the way, the local church is the only one, the local Baptist church, the only one's got the authority to do it. These people just say, well, we're going to start, go out to somewhere and do something on their own. That's not God's will. It's got to be founded through the local church. Isn't this good stuff? I got to get going. We'll never get done here. The Lord's Supper is not taken to have any part of salvation. Neither the Lord's Supper or baptism. It's got nothing to do with salvation. It's because you are saved that you're taking it. The Lord's Supper is to be continually instituted in the local church until Jesus comes back. We're going to keep doing this, deacons, until Jesus comes back. That's what he tells us to do. Do this in remembrance until I come back. And so that's why we're doing it tonight. And Jesus said, and I read you the scripture in Luke 22:19, 1 Corinthians 11:24-25. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so tonight we're going to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. We had to remember his sacrifice, his suffering that he willingly gave for you and I. We are never to forget our Savior went through tremendous pain and suffering and agony so you and I's soul could be saved. I think sometimes we take that for granted. You know what? I'm glad Christ saved me from hell. You know, I was reading the scripture the other day, 1 John 4:10. I think it's 1 John 4:10. It's either 4:19 somewhere. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Aren't you glad that he... Yeah, it's easy to love someone, but see, we didn't love him. He loved us even when we didn't love him. He gave for us before we ever gave for him. Oh, I'll tell you. Let's think about some things about Christ tonight. First of all, Jesus went willingly to the cross of Calvary. You young people, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, there'll be people try to teach you, they think they know their Bible, say, oh, he said, God, not my will, but your Father, if you can remove this cup. He said, Jesus wasn't talking about the cross. He wasn't talking about the cross at all. You know why Jesus said that? Because Jesus had no sin. He was holy. Look up here. Jesus never had a bad thought. We get bad thoughts all the time. We lose our... He never sinned once. Ever. He didn't even think about sinning. Can you imagine not even thinking about sinning? No, he did not sin, Brother Bobby. He never thought about sinning. That'll blow your mind. And when he got... See, the scripture says, and me and Tommy like this, it's over in 2 Corinthians 5. Why don't you look at it? I didn't have a plan, but someone needs to hear this. I didn't have this plan. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says there in 2 Corinthians 5, For God had made him to be sin for us. Is that what it says there? Who knew? God made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin. Andy, our Savior was perfect, sinless, white as snow. Perfect Lamb of God, without blemish. Who knew no sin. For God had made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin. No, he didn't. Why? That we might be made the righteous of God in him. Here, look up here, Jimmy. Come here, Jim. Come here, Aust. Now, last time you were up here, you were the little devil. I can't remember what you were. But I'll make you Jesus. Here's a little sinful little devil. I love this little devil, don't you? If you don't, I really think if Jesus don't come back, this guy will probably be a preacher. He's ornery enough to be a preacher. You better mind your brother, though. He's still bigger than you are. Let's make Austin Jesus right now. No sin, perfect Lamb of God. And he's got to take my sin and Jimmy's sin and all your sin. Here's someone that never sinned, that never even could even think of sin. Sin was repulsive. And to think that, because the Bible says that God put all our sins in him. He drank the cup of our sins. Mike, the reason blood came out of Jesus' temples and his sweat in Luke chapter 2, I think it's 22 or 23, is because just the very thought of him having to become sin was so repulsive that his sweat came out. But he did it so me and Jimbo could be saved. How many are glad he did it?
Amen.
Boy, isn't you got a pretty good brother here, don't you? I know. Kidding. Okay, thanks, fellas. Jimmy wouldn't go, I'm not gonna commit to that. I'm not gonna incriminate myself. I'll look up here. When Jesus said, Lord, he wasn't trying to get out of the cross. He just, is there any other way I could die for you without becoming sin? He was willing to take all the suffering. It was a sin that repulsed him so bad. His holiness was repulsed to think that he had to take our sin in his body. He who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He became a vile serpent, sinful person. Like, he took all, can you imagine all the sins of all the human race down to all eternity of time for whatever man's going to be here? He took every sin of every person on that cross within himself. Wow. See, I've run up here real quick, fellas. I messed up. See, Jesus was pure white, righteous. We were not. Jesus had to give us something that we could not get our own. He had to give us perfect imputed righteousness. How many understand what I'm saying? And that's what the Bible says. In Romans 4:8, it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge his sin because Jesus took our sins and in place he gave us his righteousness. How many of you ever did some trading with people? That was the best trade you ever made. Our sins for his righteousness. Our ungodliness for his holiness. Amen? And so what Jesus did, he became our sin bearer. The Bible says there's Timothy there. For there's one God and one meter between, the one God, one meter between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Then it goes on the next verse, verse 6, who gave his life a ransom. He was the price that God said had to be paid so you and I could be redeemed. All righty? Get out of here, little devil. Just remember, Jimmy, don't let your big brother tell you that, though. He's as sinner as we are. He just got to play the part as Jesus today. If he comes up to you and I say, bow down, I'm Jesus. Say, nah, preacher told me you weren't. But I'm glad he did it willingly. I'm glad because it was all love. When you see Calvary's cross, you see love manifested. There's no, look up here. There's no reason why Christ would do that. There's no reason. We're all worthless. We're vile. It was love. It was love that brought him from heaven. It was love that was having born in Bethlehem. It was love for him to walk 33 years on this earth. It was love that he went to the cross of Calvary. It was love that he let him put the nails in his hands. All that was love, love, for God so loved the world. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we answered, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. It's all love. Herein is love, not that we love God. I mean, you just keep, it's just all love. It's all him. Amen? Notice some scripture real quickly with me. Jesus did it. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 17. Look what Jesus said. Oh, they made him do it. No one made God, Christ do this. He was a willing sacrifice. Look at John 10, 17 and 18. Look what the scripture teaches. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. You know, when he took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." Can I tell you something? Man didn't determine when Christ died. He just said, it's fulfilled. John 19:30, it is finished. I paid the price. All the debt's been paid. Billy Boy and preacher can go to heaven. Hallelujah. It's finished, John 19:30. He decided, okay, just like you flip the light off and on, okay, I'm checking out. Goodbye. Nobody took his life. He took himself. Are you still with me? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received my Father. Look over there in Matthew 26. I get a kick that a lot of people don't read their Bible, and they say they make up all kinds of wild things about the Lord. Well, they forced him. They made him. No, no one made him. He came willingly. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 52 and 53. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword. Remember, they came to take Christ. Peter, I love old Peter. He's my kind of guy. I really love old Pete, man. Coolidge, that's the guy I like. Brother Steve, they came to get his Savior. He took that sword off. Chopped that dude's ear right off, man. Malchus chopped his ear right off, man. I love it. That's my kind of guy. Amen. How come you guys aren't happy? I think that's cool. I really do. I feel sometimes I won't say. I feel like being Peter sometimes, chopping people's ears off. Amen. You know, I'm just kidding, Lord. I think I am. Notice, he said, behold, one of them which stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said, put up thy sword in this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now? Legions of angels. He said, Peter, listen, Pete, I don't need you to protect me. Pete, if I wanted to, all I got to do is say, Lord, he'd send thousands of angels, multi-thousands. Eddie, he didn't need doubt. Just one angel could wipe us out. Look up here. You got to get this. Rady Ray, when Jesus went to the cross, he let them take him. He wanted to go to the cross for you and I, because he knew I would go to hell and you'd go to hell unless he goes to Calvary. You and I have no redemption. Brother Mark, when they blindfolded him, they beat him in the face and plucked his beard, he let him do that. When they spit upon him and pulled his beard out, and then when they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, he let him do that. He let him do that. They put the crown of thorns in his brow, he let him do that. See, all the time he was saying to us, Brother Billy, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's why I'm letting him do that. Calvary cries out to the whole world, I love you. Oh, that's what's so excited about tonight. We're remembering his love for you and I. Are you still with me, church? Oh, when I was going to read, but Isaiah 52, 14, I will read it. Isaiah 52, 14, a great prophecy of Christ. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, the way he looked, was so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. Bailey Ray, Jesus was so brutalized, honey. Don't you ever forget this. Jimbo, Jesus was so brutalized, nobody ever was as brutalized as Christ. No one ever was beat as hard as Christ. His whole body was out of joint. His whole body was deformed. Not a bone broken, but his body was deformed. And when you see Jesus with a little dot of red on those pictures, a little dot of red here and a little dot there and a little dot, they don't know their Bible. Get a 5 gallon of red paint, bucket of red paint, and throw it off, because he was immersed in blood. And Jesus was beat, lashed. Can you imagine Satan? Satan wanted Jesus to die. Can you imagine the fierceness that Satan got in there and those men whipped Christ? Can you? And they lashed and pulled back 39 times. His body was mutilated. Scripture foretold, they said, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, no one's ever suffered. No one was ever brutalized to the extent that Jesus Christ was. And he did it all because of you. And all because of me. You say, man, no one loves me. Jesus loves you. Amen. By the way, in just a couple minutes we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, do you notice he took bread? Isn't it interesting? He took bread. He broke the bread. Of course, it represents his body. Do you ever think about that bread, though? Where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Yeah. And then Jesus, why, in John chapter 6, in verse 35 and 48, he said, I am, Exodus 3:14, Moses. God, what's your name? Tell him, I am had sent you. All through the Bible, Jesus is the I am. He was God come down in the flesh. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciled us, the Bible says in Corinthians. But look at it now, look at this. He said, I am the bread of life. 6:51 of John. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He said, amen. I'm that manna. I'm the bread that came from heaven. That's why he took that bread. See, he long tried to prepare him. Hey, I'm that loaf of bread. I'm my body's going to be what's going to be broken. This bread's just a symbol of what my body is for you. Can anyone say amen? And then we are not only to remember his broken body, but we're also to remember his precious blood that he shed for us at Calvary's cross. Leviticus 17:11 says this, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. I always have a blast when I go to hospitals. They start taking blood out. And I always mess with them nurses. Man, it really... But don't mess with... Let them get their blood first because you shake them up. I used to try to shake, but I realized I couldn't... Let them get their stuff, then I start rattling them because you get them before they can't get the needle in, they're shaking around. I said, do you know what the Bible says? What? You're taking that blood. You know you're taking the life out of that person? What? Well, Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Don't take too much blood. I got to have it for my life. Boy, they got thinking, wow. Man, I don't know if I should be taking this guy's blood now. And then I go on and I say, you know what? Jesus loved you so much that he went to Calvary's cross and he gave his life. He shed his blood. He gave his blood. Jesus was the greatest blood donator there ever was. I mean, you talking about donating blood? Jesus' blood was donated for the whole world. You talking about Red Cross? That was a Red Cross. The cross of Christ was totally soaked, immersed in blood. His blood. Amen. That's a Red Cross. Isn't it amazing how the world gets things from Jesus? Are you still with me, church? 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, For ye are bought with a price. What was that price? His blood, his life. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. Without shedding of blood is no remission. That means if you don't shed the blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. You better be glad he shed that blood or you'd still be in your sins. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Did you know what? We couldn't get to heaven without that blood. Look up here. You're going to like this. Everything that you saw that God had, all the furniture and all the different things, the lavers and the mercy seat and everything, everything you saw down there with Moses in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temples, that was just a picture of what was really in heaven. Look up your kids. See, Jesus' blood never dried up. When Marlena, when Jesus died, he not only shed his blood, when he arose back to heaven, he took that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, he took it to heaven with him. And right now, Marlena, it's it's at the mercy seat. It's atoning for us right now in heaven. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Can anyone say amen? Amen? Buddy, no wonder the Bible calls it in Peter, precious blood. By the way, that blood never dries up. That's eternal blood. See, he didn't get that blood from man. He got that blood. That was Emmanuel's blood. God with us. See, God's eternal. His blood never dries up. Woo! You want the fountain of youth? Tap into that blood. That's why we're going to live forever. That must have been what Ponce de Leon was trying to find. All he had to do was find Jesus. Hey, treasure all around on Florida and everywhere, all down there south. They're trying to find that fountain of youth. All you had to do is find Jesus. Amen? Notice, 1 Peter 1:19 says, we have been redeemed with the precious blood. It is precious. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. I love this one. I'm going to close. Revelation 1:5. Why don't you look at this? I'll close. Revelation 1:5. I'll stop. Lord told me to stop. I can read it. I've got to record, but I want you to look at it. Man, this every time I read this scripture, Roddy, I get excited. Look at Revelation 1:5. And Revelation's, you know, the Genesis starts in the beginning, and Revelation's the last book of the Bible. That's what, by the way, that's how come I know what happens in the end. I read the back of the book. We win. Amen. And from, I mean, how many's in Revelation 1:5? And from Jesus Christ, I think it's worth reading if it's from Jesus. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. In his own, he's washed us in his own blood. What can take my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. We sing all those great songs about the blood. It's all in the book. And I'm so glad that he was willing to shed his blood so I wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell. I think many times we forget. We take for granted that precious blood and that body that was broken for us. Can you imagine if he said, no, Rich Skiver's not worth it. And by the way, he'd be telling the truth, I'm not worth it. Because all we are is glorified dust. And there's nothing good about me. If there's anything good about me, it's Jesus. There's nothing good about Rich Skiver. The only thing good about Rich Skiver is Christ that's in me. The hope of glory. Amen? Billy, one of these got that said, you know what? I changed my mind. Those birds aren't worth it. They're not worth it. And we're not. But he did it anyways. They're not worth it. Yeah, I know, but I love them. They hate you. I don't care. I love them. They despise you. They turn their back on you. I don't care. I love them. Father, I commit everything to you. He told that one man on the cross. Just talk about that. Today, thou shalt be in paradise with me. Can you imagine Jesus actually took time off for dying and won a soul to Christ? He went soul winning on the cross. He led a guy to Christ on the cross. Guy said, I deserve it. He said, okay, today you'll be in paradise with me. Pow, bam, saved. Because, see, he was still doing his Father's business. I must do my Father's. He was doing his Father's business to the very last breath. Tonight, we're going to take this Lord's Supper. It's not the blood of Jesus. It's not the body of Jesus. But it's supposed to remind us. When you drink that Welch's grape juice, it's supposed to remind you that all that precious blood that he gave from his body to cover our sins. When you eat that bread, you just think about all his body was broken and mired and torn and just brutalized. For one reason, for you and I. There's a scripture just came to me. I'll close, I promise. I'll pull it up here in just 1 minute. It's in Isaiah 53. I didn't have it planned. Turn to Isaiah 53, and it'll come to me. I think it's verse 10. I promise I'll close. Isaiah 53:10. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Is that what it says there? Oh, you need to understand what God did for us 2,000 years ago. Christ took it all so I could have all. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to shame. Is that what it says there? Put him to grief. Can you read that scripture for me, Rod? Yeah, stand up and tell him what verse it is. Yeah, the Father on his Son, yeah. Yes. Yeah, see, Christ was the offering for all our sins, you see. Don't take it for granted. Go ahead.
He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Yes, and then the next verse says, he shall justify many.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many.
Yes. Yeah. See, what Christ did on the cross, he satisfied an outraged holy God over our sin. That's what that scripture, I need to teach that book of Romans again. I've been thinking about it so much. 1 Peter 2:2, and he was a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, big word. It means that what Christ did on Calvary satisfied a holy God over our sin. And he's propitiation for our sin, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And see what God did. He spanked. Lukey, God the Father, spanked Jesus. Jesus took my spanking and your spanking. He paid for all my sins and all your sins. You know, he had no sins. And God the Father spanked Jesus, boys and girls. If I can use that as an illustration, so you and I could be forgiven. Jesus took my place. Come here, both you boys, come here. I'm all done. Boy, you're a poor looking Jesus. Jimmy's supposed to die and be punished for his sins. But what happened? By the way, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And instead of Jimmy getting the lashing, instead of Jimmy getting the punishment, Jesus took his place. See, that's what he did for you and I. Thank you, fellas. He took my place. He took your place. And what he did, Brother Jack, was insurmountable for you and I. We can never repay him. You know what I'm glad about eternity, Grandma? You know why I'm glad we're going to get to spend eternity with Jesus forever and ever and ever? To thank him. To worship him. To praise him for loving me and saving me from the depths of hell and let me go to the paradise of God. That's what we're going to think about tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're about to take the Lord's Supper. You've done so much for us. We do so much, so little for you. And we could never repay what you did for us. I just want to tell you we love you and we want to thank you. Tonight we're going to remember your body being broken for us. Tonight we're going to remember the lash and the nails in your hands and nails in your feet. And we're going to remember all the hurt and the pain and the thorns and the crown of thorns in your skull. And we're going to remember the lashing and all the hurt and all the suffering and all the shame. We're going to remember that we were the ones that the girl sings about. We should have been, or you took our place. Dear God, we want to thank you for taking our place tonight. Lord, we just want to tell you, we love you with all our heart. God, help us to love you with all our heart and soul forever. And we just want to praise you. And Lord, we're going to remember tonight what you did for us 2,000 years ago. We'll praise you in Christ's name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we take the Lord's Supper. How many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven." You could raise that hand. I know for a fact. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone here tonight that say, "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Just raise your hand. Let me see it. "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell." If you're listening by the way of the internet, Christ loves you today. We're about to take the Lord's Supper, but you could, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, right where you're at, right in your own home, or you might be driving, I don't know, maybe you have some little thing going on, a little computer in your car, you could pull over to the side or stop whatever you're doing, and right now you could ask Christ to save your soul. He will. That was the reason he came. It's no accident that you're listening tonight. I pray that you would know that Christ loves you and he died just for you and he arose that third day just for you and he wants you to go to heaven with him forever. Say this prayer if you're listening on the way of the internet. I know people from all different countries have been coming in. We're thankful for not just America but other countries coming into our website. And we at Bethel Baptist Church want to encourage you. We want to see you in heaven. You could say this prayer, and if you meant it from your heart, God will save you. You could say, "Lord Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe you died just for me. I believe you rose that third day. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Save my soul from hell. And take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you right now as my Savior." You that are listening by way of internet, if you did that, if you meant it from your heart, God just saved you. Scripture says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you did ask Christ to save you, you know what? Be nice. We promise you we won't bother you. Send us a little card and say, "Preacher, we tapped into your little internet message there and on Church on the Rise. And we want you to know we trusted Christ as our Savior. I could share. I won't tell them their name, but I'd like to tell my people someone out there took the Savior and will see him in heaven. Father, I pray with all my heart that you could bless this message, that not just the hearers here tonight, but those that would hear it in the future would understand what Christ did, the importance of the Lord's Supper, how important what you did for us. Help us as Christians to love you and to realize all that you gave. You gave all. You gave all so we could have all. You went into poverty so we could become rich. I pray you'll bless us tonight. In Christ's name, amen.